spent the start of the day with checking out of my room, getting directions from the desk clerk to a storage place a few blocks down, renting out a small storage unit like half a closet, a bit heavier in cost than a bus station locker, but I couldn't make myself easy with one of those. Didn't want to have to come back anytime soon, so took out $800 to get me by, told myself consider it all I had in the world, and treat it accordingly. Tracked down a commuter train, got me well away by nightfall, and took out a room in a motel advertised weekly rates. Made the 7 days equivalent to three nights regular, parking lot lined with tractor trailers and vans, placed just down from a freeway entrance. I walked to the end of the line of strip malls, mile and a half of nothing but them. Bought myself a squat bottle of vodka someplace as I went, kept on a bit further, getting myself warm with it, smoking cigarettes from fingers I couldn't feel. Eventually, I settled on a particular public telephone out in front between a veterinarian office and a shoe store. Some shopping center closed down for the night already. Took my time arranging the coins I'd broke a 10 for, set them on the shelf there used to be a phone book someone had made off with for whatever reason. Took another swallow, dropped the coins down, and dialed the numbers out. Few rings in, guy answered. I could tell he was in someplace public, but could tell also that as soon as I'd said, "You left this number for me," he'd excused himself, was moving out away from whoever he was with. Sounded like in a restaurant. "Trevor," he said, getting his breath. "Well, there you are. Was worried you wouldn't get my number." I knew who he was and more or less where. Knew he was standing outside someplace just as cold as where I was. Easy to picture. I hated he knew my name, or that he'd said it anyway. Obviously, he knew it. Thought we'd settled on we weren't seeing each other again ever. Now it's been, what, a fortnight? He laughed, a chuckle I could tell was out his nose. He must have been lighting a cigarette his own, which reminded me to take a tap off mine before it went cold. "That's funny, and you're right, you're right. But we're not really seeing each other, right? I don't think really we're ever going to have to. We just need to find out some way for you to pay me the money it seems you owe me." I'd taken a mouth of vodka he'd been talking, took my time swallowing, the rise of what I'd done before getting me loose, rocking while I spoke, uneven from on my toes, flat on my heels. "I owe you money now is how you figured it out? That's interesting. Don't have a math book on me, but counting things off my fingers, I don't come up with how that's supposed to work out." I'd emphatically raised my middle finger while rambling this out, really amused with myself, leaned against the brick and had another swallow, deciding not to bother with starting up another cigarette. "Terrible things happened, Trevor. Unfortunately, something, though, that we have to act accordingly about. Not to say it wasn't something that crossed my mind was a possibility, but can't say it was exactly expected. It seems Herman got bent out of shape with things so much, he decided he'd go and shove a bullet right out through the top of his head." I smiled, rubbing my neck, reached to the phone top to take my bottle back up from where I'd set it, surprised it had maybe just one more tilt left in it. "That's really quite a thing. Something else, I guess. Though, like you say, it's not outside the realm of what to have expected might go happening. Someone reads a letter wrote all in detail like that, and all the time their own wife's the one who wrote it. You're absolutely right. Like I said, it had occurred to me. Couldn't say the news was so surprising to me. But what I must say did give me a bit of a startle was that Herman went ahead beforehand and shoved four other bullets right into Clea while she was relaxing in her evening bath." I tapped my forehead on the side of the phone enclosure, closed my eyes hard enough I heard a kind of rumble in my ears, got the screw cap off the bottle with one hand, heard it hit the cement, swallowed what was left inside, looked at the empty a moment before dropping it, giving it a gentle kick out down the curb into the lot. "That is pretty terrible. I see what you mean there. Though seems it doesn't keep you feeling just tickled pink with yourself, the whole thing, right? Same time, too, interesting all as it is, this seems beside the point to I owe you some money, doesn't it?" There was a lengthy pause. Maybe him finishing his cigarette. Maybe waiting while someone passed. "Trevor, just what is it you think you've been doing?" Don't see why I'd feel like answering you that, man. You want to know about doing things? Go do them. That gave him a kick, or else he was good at fake laughing. Really seemed to put a smile on his face. I honestly don't think I'd even know how to begin doing things. Not as industriously as you, for sure. And look, not wanting to keep you on the phone too long, and I've got to get back in here a minute. Way it turns out is that what sounds pretty open and shut about Herman and his wife one minute, it's complicated just the next when someone gets in touch with the police, thinks there might be more to the two of them going dead than appearances would indicate. I didn't want to listen. Didn't care. Didn't respond. And he let it keep silent just long enough I got a deep breath out my nose before he went on where I already knew it was he was driving. Guy named Norman Court. You might have heard of him? He seems to be convinced that someone blackmailed Clea off a couple $1,000s and did the same to him on top. So now that's got everyone trying to be clever, thinking, why would someone go and do that? And isn't it funny that it'd be something happens right before this other thing? Yeah, I said, rolling my head around my neck. As fascinating as all that is, and of course we both know that you know it was me bled them off some money. That's money not one bit of it is coming to you, so I'm going to tell you just it's been great chatting, but then I think it's time we say goodnight. Trevor, you hang up and we haven't decided to get square on this. Where? When? And to what dollar amount? It is not going to go nice for you, and I'm being missed at dinner, so let's get these finer points sorted out. I hung up. Vodka hitting me, I'd not have said much coherent I had kept on the line. Got around a corner and just couldn't manage getting a cigarette lit up from my fingers, the steady pinch of breeze to the night. Heard the payphone back behind me ringing, perked up, made my way back to it and took back the coins I'd set on the shelf, shoved them in my coat pocket, watched the receiver as the ring groaned. Sounded like frozen tin cans clattering in a bag. Felt soft and feverish, my palms actually hot, didn't seem to be sweating when I touched them, just hot, points of heat all through me from the alcohol, I supposed. Phone had stopped ringing. Didn't start again. I picked up the receiver, hummed along with the dial tone under my breath a second, set it down.